Well, our scripture today is long. And especially when I have a really long scripture, I like reading in almost like a children's book type language. No reflection on you. But I think that keeps our interest better. So that's the message. We'll see how it, this should be pretty close to what you have there. This is today's English version. This is a story that just about every one of you have heard before. As a matter of fact, I sort of preached it before here, but not in the way that I'm going to preach it today. A man named Lazarus, who lived in Bethany, became sick. Bethany was the town where Mary and her sister Martha lived. This Mary was the one who poured the perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was sick. The sisters sent Jesus a message. "Lord, your dear friend is sick." When Jesus heard it, he said, "The final result of this sickness will not be the death of Lazarus. This has happened to bring glory to God and will be the means by which the Son of God will receive glory." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he received the news that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. That's how much he loved them. Can you imagine just reading this for the first time? And you don't know a whole lot about anything. You're just hearing this for the first time. Can you imagine? Okay, I'm following you. I'm tracking with you. He loved them. And when he heard the news that Jesus was sick, he stayed 2 more days. The shock is gone for us, isn't it? When you know the end, the shock is gone. Oh, that will go right with what I'm going to talk about today. The sister sent Jesus a message. Jesus stayed 2 more days. And then he said to the disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "Teacher," the disciples answered, "just a short time ago the Jews wanted to stone you, and you plan to go back there?" Jesus said, "A day has 12 hours, has it not? So if a man walks in broad daylight, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if he walks during the night, he stumbles because there is no light in him." Jesus said this and then added, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go wake him up." The disciples, who we know aren't the sharpest tools in the shed, say, "If he is asleep, Lord, he will get well." But Jesus meant that Lazarus had died. They thought he meant natural sleep. So Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. But for your sake, I am glad that I was not with him, so you will believe. Let us go to him." Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us all go with the teacher, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had been buried for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to see Mary and Martha to comfort them about their brother's death. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "If you had been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask of him." "Your brother will be raised to life," Jesus told her. "I know," she replied, "that he will be raised to life on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she answered, "I do believe this. I do believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." After Martha said this, she went back and called her sister Mary privately. "The teacher is here," she told her, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up and hurried out to meet him. Jesus had not arrived in the village yet, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were in the house with Mary, comforting her, followed her when they saw her get up and hurry out. They thought that she was going to the grave to weep there. When Mary arrived where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. Lord, she said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping also. His heart was touched and he was deeply moved. Where have you buried him? He asked them. Come and see, Lord, they answered. Jesus wept. Those two words, shortest sentence in the Bible. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how much he loved him. But some of them said, he opened the blind man's eyes, didn't he? Could he not have kept Lazarus from dying? Deeply moved once more, Jesus went to the tomb, which was a cave with a stone placed in the entrance. Take the stone away, Jesus ordered. Martha, the dead man's sister, answered, there will be a bad smell, Lord. He had been buried 4 days. Jesus said to her, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed? They took the stone away. Jesus looked up and said, I thank you, Father, that you listen to me. I know that you always listen to me, but I say this because of the people here, so they will believe that you sent me. Boy, I was doing so well, wasn't I? Because now I'm going to stop and say something about that. This is one of the very few places that Jesus is, relayed to us that Jesus said a prayer knowing that other people were listening and possibly almost for their benefit. Isn't that interesting? Jesus says, I thank you that you listen to me. I know that you always listen to me, but I say this because the people here, so they will believe you sent me. It's sometimes when you pray in front of other people, it's really strange because sometimes you're saying things for their benefit. And I'd never really thought about it before I was researching this week for this story that Jesus did that here. That it's not like when you pray out loud that you have to pray out loud. God knows your heart. He knows exactly what you're thinking. But sometimes we pray out loud for us. And sometimes we pray out loud for others. And it's just like I've been saying, for you who go to 9:30 church this morning, I'm going to talk about prayer again, which I talked about Wednesday night. And it's probably going to be a lot like Wednesday night. But there's so few people who come to the 9:30. So anyhow, I'm telling you that. So if you decide not to stay today, you're forewarned. I'm talking about prayer downstairs at 9:30. Sometimes when we pray for the benefit of others. Just like when someone comes up and says, will you pray for so-and-so? And I will frequently just pray right then with them out loud. I have a friend who said whenever they leave, I always pray right then to the Lord. Sometimes we do it out loud. Sometimes we pray silently. And I don't think that there's a right or wrong there. But Jesus was praying here out loud. And even what he was saying part of it for the benefit of those who were listening. So after he had said this, he called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. I do like the more of the King James version in this. What's it say in that? Come forth! The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in grave cloths and a cloth around his face. Untie him and let him go. And I also love the King James or New King James in this. What does it say? Loose him and set him free. That's what I like. Loose him and set him free. Jesus called him to life, and he let the people participate in the resuscitation, right? Many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary, so that's the end of our scripture, but this was the beginning of the end for Jesus. All right. So what I want to, the title of the message today, and what I really want to talk about is Jesus wept, God cares. God cares. That's what I want to stress today. The Jews said, in the scripture, it said, Jesus wept, and the Jews said, see how much he loved him. See how much he loved him. I don't think that's why Jesus cried. You see, and I'm not... There's a story in the Old Testament that Saul and his sons are killed in battle, and basically they run the sword through themselves. Saul does, runs the sword through himself. And somebody escapes from there and goes back and tells David that he killed Saul because Saul asked him to. I think this is how the story goes. This just came to me. I didn't have this in my sermon. And I remember David Jeremiah preaching on this one time, and he said that the Bible is true even about men's lies. Isn't that good? That's not what happened. What the guy said happened isn't what happened. But the Bible's true even about men's lies. I think that comes to mind because here the Jews said, see how he loved him, and I don't think that's why Jesus cried. I can only think of one reason why Jesus cried. Do you think he didn't know he could raise Lazarus from the dead? Do you think he didn't know he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead? Don't you think he probably knew that? That's why he waited 2 days till Lazarus was dead. Why do you think Jesus cried? I sometimes will do funerals for people that I don't know. In 7 years of being a pastor, I've probably done, I don't know, 6 or 8 funerals for people that I absolutely didn't know. I mean, I didn't know Chuck real well when I got here. I knew his heart pretty well, but I didn't know a lot of stories about him. I didn't know him that well. But some people I don't know at all. Some people I've never seen before. Never met them, never seen them. Matter of fact, my first funeral that I ever did, I did just because I was the preacher across the street from the church or from the funeral home. And the people who were having the funeral, they didn't know any preachers. And so I hadn't been there but a week at the church. So in other words, I've only been a pastor for a week. And the guy from the funeral home next door to the church calls me and says, we've got someone here and they would like for you to do the funeral. I'd never met the family, never met the person who died. But there's something about, I usually try to walk in with the family. Sometimes it doesn't work out that I get to, but I usually try to walk in with the family. So when they first go in to see their loved one in the funeral home or in the church, wherever it's at. So, the funeral home does their work and the person's in the casket and I usually try to walk in with the family. And you know, it doesn't matter if I know the people or if I knew the person who's passed away. It never fails that when they start crying, I start crying. I can start crying right now thinking about crying with people I don't know. And everybody's not like that. And I'm not saying, see me, I'm like Jesus. I'm just saying, that's the heart God's given me. I call myself the John Boehner of preachers. And you who don't follow any politics, you don't know what I'm talking about. But he can start telling a story about when he swept his parents' grocery store as a young boy, and he'll just start crying. He can tell you what he had for lunch today, and it'd bring back memories, and he'll just start crying. It was fettuccine Alfredo. That was my mother's favorite dish. I'm being funny, but I'm not making fun. It's just the heart God's given me. I don't think I was always a crier. But now, whenever I walk in with the family and they're sad, I'm sad. Even when, just like in Chuck's case, I'm sure of where that man is right now. There's no doubt. What's so funny? Oh, that's okay. Probably something he shouldn't have done. But even in... It's not that Jesus didn't know how it was going to turn out. He knew how it was going to turn out. He knew that he was going to say, Lazarus, come forth, and that dead guy was going to walk out of the tomb. So do you think he was sad about Lazarus? No. It's like when Stephen was killed with rocks, and it says devout men buried him, and as they buried him, that they made great lamentation. They wailed and wept. And it wasn't because they were worried about where Stephen went. He said, as he was dying, I see God. Yet they were sad that he wasn't going to be around anymore. I think Jesus wept because Mary and Martha were sad and the others were weeping. And it made Jesus sad. And it's not that he didn't. It's because he cared so much about them, even though he knew exactly how it was going to turn out. There's a girl that's far enough removed from this place and this situation. I won't tell her name, but I think I can tell her story. That I remember one time her mother was crying and really sad because this young mother, who was expectant with another child, her husband, there's some debate about whether he'd been unfaithful or not, but their marriage was ending. Their marriage was over. And this mother was crying and upset about her daughter, who was, 25, 27 years old, with one baby and one on the way, and a marriage dissolved now. And I remember Diane saying, I know how this is going to turn out. She's not going to be on the market long. She's beautiful. She's intelligent. She is great personality, caring. And in the valley of the shadow, the mother couldn't see any of this. All she could see was her daughter's heartbreaking and her heartbreaking. Now, what do you think happened? Wasn't too long, within, year and a half, someone fixed her up on a blind date. The guy who she got fixed up with, his mother wasn't at all happy that she had two kids. But he didn't care, and They went out on a date. They fell in love. They got married. And now they've had one or two kids together. He is, I mean, he is as great a guy and good looking, I mean, in a manly way as I can say that. He is as good looking and as nice and as kind hearted as she is. He's the male version of her. And Diane knew how it was going to turn out. But when the mother and when she was in the valley of the shadow, right? You can't really see it from there. And so many times, and it doesn't always end happy either. Sometimes the healing doesn't come. Sometimes God doesn't say, come out of that tomb so that we can all see it. We only look at things as a success if, what is it like they say, if you play a country music song backwards, your wife comes back, your truck works, and your dog lives. That's what they say when you get it. But when you play a country music song backwards, your wife comes back, your truck's not broke down, and your dog lives. That's when we say, okay, Lord, I see what you did there, and I know you care because you gave me what I wanted, right? Sometimes he does things that we don't want. It's all throughout the Bible. Following Jesus doesn't necessarily mean an easy life. You can ask, and I can ask, all kinds of questions. Lord, why would you let me struggle like this? I don't think that's a bad question. I mean, it's how you say it or how you look at it. Maybe it's better if you say, as I did one time, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? What are you trying to teach me? I mean, that's a better way to say it than, why are you doing this? I really have said before, Lord, what are you trying to teach me here? I know I'm sort of like the disciples, not the sharpest tool in the shed. I'm trying to get it. What are you trying to teach me? It's okay to ask that question. However you word it, he knows what you mean. The one question that I don't think that we can ever ask is, do you care? Do you not care? I don't think we can ever ask that question. We're going to the mission tomorrow for lunch. I love what it says on the side of the building at the mission. It says something like, when you can't find a friend in the world, you can find one here. Is that what it says? If you haven't a friend in the world, you can find one here. Listen, I care about your stuff. Your friends care about your stuff and what you're going through. Nobody knows exactly how you feel. Even, you know, I'll sometimes minister to people when their dad died, and I can say, my dad died. But I don't necessarily know how they feel. Your friends and me, we try to sincerely care, but I'm human. Your friends are human. And sometimes I'm going to let you down and they're going to let you down. But I'm telling you, he will never let you down. Even when you don't get what you want, he will not let you down. even when it doesn't end as we want it to end, He will never let you down. So the one question that I don't think that we can ever ask is, do you not care? Do you care? Because if you did care, you would show your care how I would show my care. That's what we're saying, right? If you, it's what Diane always says about, she said, I believe God's a man. Because if God was a woman, that would make God mother and you would never suffer. If God was a woman, she would always bail you out. Right, moms? She says, that's, huh? Yeah, fix everything. Make it better for you. That's how Diane says, I know God's a man. God will let you struggle. But it's always for our good. It's always for the best, even when we can't see it. Mary and Martha, they're upset that Jesus didn't prevent Lazarus from dying. And Jesus knew how it was going to turn out. And he said to them, and he says to you, it's going to be okay. Trust me, it's going to be okay. So with Jaden, I can just start going with yours and yours and yours and yours and mine. It's going to be okay. It may not go how you want it to go, but do you think God's ever worried? Oh, I didn't see that coming. He knows. And I don't think that we're puppeted around like we don't have choices, but I think He knows every choice we're going to make. It's just like when Jonah said, God sent Jonah, and Jonah said, I'm not going to do it. And I don't think God's going, okay, now what am I going to do? Well, I'll wait and see what Jonah does. Okay, he gets in a boat. Well, I'll cause a storm. Now I'm going to wait and see what they do. Okay, they're going to throw him overboard. Now I'll make a... No, it's not at all like that. He knows everything, right? He knows what you're going through, and He cares. You know how I know He cares more than anything? Because ultimately, all that matters in this whole world is that we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that matters in the whole world. Everything else, it is all temporary. And I know He cares because in the only thing that truly matters, He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. This craziness. Who would do that? I mean, I think, okay, I go in and I weep with the family, but would I lay down my life for them? I mean, Scripture says I should, but don't test me on that one. God laid down His life for you. That's how I know He cares. He came and died on the cross and took the penalty that you deserved. I'm going to tell you this last story, and this is it. There's a guy named Mike Slaughter, who you'll hear me talk about from time to time. He's a pastor at Ginghamsburg. I got to spend a week with him. It's the sixth largest United Methodist church in the country, and I got to spend a week with him through a seminary class, like 12 hours a day. And he tells a story about one time his daughter wanted to take the car out. She was 16 years old. And he said, no, not taking the car out tonight. So they went to bed, probably about 10 o'clock, as parents do. And his 16-year-old daughter snuck out and took the car. And I don't know if he heard something or what, but he wakes up in the middle of the night and he sees that the car's gone. And what do you think he does? Gets in the car and goes and chases her down, right? I mean, isn't that what you would do? Or would you wait for her to get home and say, "You're in big trouble, lady"? He called the police. He reported his car as stolen. He did. Sometimes we bring stuff on ourselves. Sometimes we are just disobedient to God, and sometimes He has to get our attention. I believe that. Now, I believe that sometimes bad stuff happens and it breaks God's heart. And I believe sometimes we bring stuff on ourselves, and does it still break God's heart? Yes. Do you think it was easy for that dad to call the police on his daughter? No. Do you think that was a pretty defining moment in her life? Do you think she hated him for it? And that was probably 12 years ago. Do you think she hates him for it today? She's got kids of her own. She doesn't hate him for it today. Sometimes the fact that God cares so much, He'll allow some pretty hard and difficult and rotten things to happen. But it's always for our good. Let me pray. God, I thank You for this story of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and this reminder about Your tears, and how there are people, Lord, I know in every congregation, and I know there are in this one, who are facing extraordinary difficulties, not ordinary difficulties, not small problems, but big problems, or big burdens on their hearts. And I just pray that You would send them out of here today with the knowledge and the belief that You do care, that You care so much that You sent Your Son Jesus, so that no matter what this life brings, God, we who have faith and trust and hope in Him, we know that it's going to end okay. So I pray that You would send people out of here to persevere. I pray that You would sustain them in their moments of despair. Pray that You would lift them. And I pray for a lot of good endings. And I pray this and ask this for Your glory, and in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who weeps with us and who saves us. It's in His name we pray. Amen.